Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's only me and I walk alone.
Indeed, if Mexico is right, then every law enforcement organization in America has missed the largest criminal conspiracy in history operating right under their nose, and Budweiser is liable for every accident caused by underage drinkers, since it knows that teenagers will buy beer, drive drunk, and crash. The First Circuit gravely erred in embracing that implausible theory and should be reversed.
If Budweiser had was alleged to have a practice of selling bulk quantities of Bud Light to liquor stores that were arranged next to high schools, and it was selling more and more into those high schools, knowing that those liquor stores were regularly serving underage students. And in fact, the Bud Light designed it to put out a new can that says "Best Prom Ever" and sold it right into that high school. That is the allegations in this case.
So, very interesting oral argument to the Supreme Court this week over an effort by Mexico, the government of Mexico, to sue American gun manufacturers for money and reforms, liability for the costs incurred to the country for them having to fight against the Mexican drug cartels who buy guns that were manufactured in America, sold through distributors, then to retails, to straw purchasers who turned around and sold them to other people illegally, and then were smuggled across the border to the south, like the other direction. You know, we tend to think of smuggling going this way, but this is guns going south. And were then sold, that's illegal, then were sold illegally to Mexican cartel members because you can't have guns in Mexico. It's illegal. They have one gun shop in the entire country. It's amazing. And then they were used in crimes. And you say, how on earth could an American gun company be responsible for that? I thought American gun companies were protected from legal liability. They are. However, there is an element of the law. It's they refer to it as PLACA. An element of that law, it's protecting against legal, I forget what the PLACA stands for. It's protecting the legal creation of arms and whatever. It doesn't really matter, but the point is that law is designed to protect gun manufacturers in their manufacturing and sale of guns against the kind of lawsuits that were being brought by cities and states to put them out of business. And the Congress said, this is supposed to stop this kind of stuff, and now we're using it all over again. But there is an exemption written into that law. It's called the predicate exemption in the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act. And if the manufacturer is knowingly violating another law, is, for example, aiding and abetting in the criminal behavior, and is also maybe marketing the firearms or ammunition in an illegal way, then, and you can connect them through a chain of sequences that they are plausibly responsible for to the end result, then they can be sued. In other words, there were states that enacted protection measures for gun companies that didn't have this exemption. Congress had this exemption. Congress considered the possibility that a gun manufacturer might be challenged on its manufacturing, marketing, knowledge, complicity in illegal straw pulls and, you know, for straw sales, for example, or, you know, sales to gun distributors who are then doing their sales to people they should know better about, ones that have even been investigated. And so that's what this case really rests on. And it was, like I said, very, very interesting discussion of what wouldn't be culpable. This is Samuel Alito asking the lawyer for Mexico, Catherine Stetson.
Are there any allegations in the complaint that the petitioners knowingly sell to specific red flag dealers?
Yes. If you look at paragraph 247, and I'll read it because I think this one is important. Defendants supply dealers with all the guns they can pay for, without any public safety conditions, even if a gun dealer has been repeatedly found to have violated gun laws, been indicted, its employees have had federal gun licenses revoked, or has repeatedly supplied cartels in suspicious and obvious sales to traffickers, including repeated bulk sales. That is an allegation that goes directly to specific rogue dealers.
Meaning they are continuing to sell through distribution channels that they know are breaking the law, that they know are located near the border or like in Phoenix, or in, you know, places in Texas, and are then getting bought by straw purchasers, resold to smugglers who take them to Mexico and sell them to drug cartels and are used to commit violence. They know this. Now, is it 2% of the business? Is it 10% of the business? Is it a half a percent of the business? Well, there's some debate about that. But she also says, you know, look at how some of these guns are, you know, actually made. Some of the design elements are, you know, kind of wild.
It's not so much that the defendants are designing a particular gun. It's that what the complaint alleges is that they are designing certain guns to target the Mexican market, including the cartels. So if you take the example that you gave, this is paragraph 215. Colt produces three models of guns that it specifically targets to the Mexican market, the Super El Jefe, the Super El Grito, and the Emiliano Zapata 1911. These are coveted by the cartels, and you can see evidence of this as paragraphs 217, 218, 219, 220, and they are smuggled into Mexico in volume, which you can also find in the...
Do you know what the...
So, in fact, the the Zapata one, the El Huicho, excuse me, has an extensive criminal past dating back to 1990. If you actually read through some of the examples here, they've got, like, one of them is inscribed with the saying, you know, basically in Spanish, it is better to die standing than to live on your knees. You know, these kind of extra super machismo type weapons that are meant for a Spanish-speaking market. Now, the response by Colt's attorney is, you're telling me we can't market to Hispanics, to Spanish speakers? Well, I mean, bro, you know, are you marketing to Spanish-speaking Americans or, you know, what are you really trying to accomplish here? So it's a very interesting case. Now, the Supreme Court was very skeptical of the claims by the Mexican the lawyer for Mexico. I think they're probably going to say no. And this is not like end judgment of the case. This is like the first step. This is, are they even eligible to continue the lawsuit? They have to qualify under the exemption that the gun manufacturers broke the law by aiding and abetting these criminal elements in the chain of distribution. And I think they're probably going to get told no. I think the Supreme Court's probably going to say no. But it was a much more interesting case than I expected it to be after first hearing about it. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Sorry, brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, you can visit watsonfirm.com. Just one accident to let you know about, South Blue Angel Parkway and Dog Track Road. There's no roadblock associated with that, but I'm starting to see some delays on Blue Angel Parkway, so be aware of that. I-10 is, actually looking good. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. And by the way, the justices brought up some of the questions that you would likely have, which is, wait a minute. What about Mexico's failure to police, for example, its border and kill 70 to 100,000 people through fentanyl? Can't we take them to court?
I just thought I would ask you a question that may be on the minds of ordinary Americans who hear this argument or learn about the case. Mexico says that U.S. gun manufacturers are contributing to illegal conduct in Mexico. There are Americans who think that Mexican government officials are contributing to a lot of illegal conduct here. So suppose that one of the 50 states sued the government of Mexico for aiding and abetting illegal conduct within the state's borders that causes the state to incur law enforcement costs, public welfare costs, other costs. Would your client be willing to litigate that case in the courts of the United States?
I mean, they're bringing a lawsuit against U.S. manufacturers. Would they take the position of helping the U.S. prosecute anybody in Mexico that does this? Or would they be right? You know, or would they be willing to say, no, we're bad, too? Well, the answer is, the attorney said, there's sovereign immunity that covers the Mexican government. Sovereign immunity does not cover the gun manufacturers. And that's true. But philosophically, you see the point that Justice Alito was making. Justice Kavanaugh made a similar point about, if we allow this, what's next? It seems like almost everything would fall within the scope of legal liability for products that are manufactured that end users wind up doing horrible things with.
Would your theory of aiding and abetting suggest that manufacturers should be concerned if their products, their lawful products, are sold in certain communities or certain neighborhoods where they're more likely to be misused? You know, we manufacture knives, but there are a lot of stabbings in certain neighborhoods. We should make sure our products aren't sold there, or a sporting goods company and baseball bats are used to, you know, storm CVSs or what have you. So we shouldn't sell in this city, or prescription drugs are misused in a certain area. So we need to be alert and make sure. Is that where your theory of aiding and abetting leads, that you have to be kind of tracing everything down the chain and make sure we're not selling in these places, or it's not ending up in the places where it's more likely to be misused?
Because if the gun manufacturers are able to be held liable on foreseeable harm through aiding and abetting the criminal behavior that's done in the chain of distribution and by the end user, wouldn't alcohol manufacturers be susceptible for drunk driving or domestic violence? Wouldn't car manufacturers be susceptible for property damage or deaths caused by people speeding? Wouldn't across the board, you know, the occasional person who has a soup can thrown at them and kills them, wouldn't you be able to sue Campbell's over that? Like, that's the questions they were getting at. So it's not just an issue of are they eligible under the law, it's a question of the end implication, and essentially bringing almost every manufacturer into court over things they could foresee but allegedly don't take enough steps to remedy. So this was not at the does Mexico win or lose stage. This was at the is Mexico even allowed to continue the lawsuit. I think the Supreme Court's going to probably say no. But like I said, it was a much more interesting case given the knowledge about how these gun distributors, these retail shops, the smugglers, the El Jefe, all of that stuff made it much more interesting than I originally thought it would be. 722 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are a company, you have employees, you have to deal with benefits like insurance for health, dental, vision, life, disability. You got to manage HR. You got to do payroll. You know, all the red tapey kind of logistical accounting things that nobody really gets into business to do, but you have to do to run a business. Torgerson Causey can help with that stuff. They got into business to help people do that stuff. Like, they really love the stuff that you hate, which is kind of why they're good at it and, you know, very good resource to use. We've been using them here at Cat Country and News Radio for about 4 years. I love them. My wife loves them. My wife gives almost no insurance people the thumbs up, and she says they're great. And I agree. They have been fantastic. Better plans we had access to before, better customer service, answering our questions. And, you know, really, it's rare to find, and they are really good at it. More than 20 years helping local businesses like yours. Torgerson Causey, 433-9996, or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Discouraged? Defeated? Disappointed? You're listening to Strength for Life.
Hey, this is Pastor James Johnson with Strength for Life. I want you to know that there are resources available on our website that are specifically designed to strengthen you in your walk with God. Maybe you're feeling weak in your prayer life because of unanswered prayer. I wrote a little booklet entitled When God Says No, which will strengthen you in how to deal with those times in your life when it seems that God is silent. Maybe you're struggling because someone you love is away from the Lord. They're wayward and your heart is broken. On our website, you'll find a booklet entitled Ministry to the Wayward, and it will strengthen you in knowing exactly how to help that person who is in a prodigal situation. You can find these strengthening resources and much more at our website, which is www.strengthforlife.church. Check it out today.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. Today at 9 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola Little Theater is excited to present The Play That Goes Wrong, a side-splitting comedy that follows the mishaps of the Cornley Polytechnic Drama Society as they endeavor to perform a murder mystery play titled The Murder on Haversham Manor. However, everything that can go wrong goes wrong, culminating in a hilarious spectacle that will keep the audience in stitches from beginning to end. The show will run from March 7th to March 16th. You can secure your tickets for the show online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com or at the PLT box office.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Dave Greenwood, Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County, is up next. Before that, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Okay, let's see here. No, just that one accident on Blue Angel Parkway and Dog Track Road to let you know about. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Dave Greenwood is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Joins us every Friday to give us a heads up on beach conditions for the weekend now that they're staffing on the beach. Dave, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you. Now, I know earlier in the week, what, Wednesday maybe, you were running double red flags. What are things looking like for today and tomorrow?
Today it looks very, very fairly calm. We got a small wind blowing from the east, and the water is pretty flat, so we've got a low risk today, so we'll probably be fine a green flag. However, over into the weekend, looks like the weather's going to start to deteriorate, and once that happens, it picks up the surf. So surf will be increasing into Saturday and Sunday.
When you were on the double red flags the other day, were there people still trying to go in the water? Did you have to do very many prevents or informative contacts?
Yeah, well, we did preventative actions, and you know, that's our success right there. Our success speaks for itself because we had no incidents.
I always will take that outcome. That's the best outcome possible. Anything else you want to tell us about this weekend, or get us prepared for, or remind us, because we may have forgotten because we haven't been to the beach in 6 months?
Oh, well, we've got a new development. I don't think I've talked about this. You can text information. Our flag messages for the day can be texted you if you sign up for our text alerts.
Oh, how do I get signed up for it?
It's all on our website and social media.
On Pensacola and Beach Lifeguards, okay.
Yeah, and then we're really happy. We've got 10 new people that will complete their pre-service training on Sunday, and they'll be ready to go to work.
Outstanding. Yeah, I know you said you had a bumper crop of recruiting lifeguards this year, which we'll take it. I will always take that because the alternative is the difficult part for your job a lot of times. Dave Greenwood, Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Dave, as always, thank you for keeping our beaches safe, protecting our locals and our tourists, and for keeping us informed, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. It's great to talk to you. Have a great weekend. Look forward to talking to you next Friday.
Yes, sir. 7:28. Dave, other Dave Wayne is in the news. Dave Greenwood to David Wayne. It's not confusing at all. Is in our newsroom with the headlines. David?
Well, I'll take other Dave any day. That's
Dave 1 right. And Dave 2.
I've been called worse. A nearly one-month tariff delay on most products from Canada and Mexico is being announced. President Trump has signed an executive order that delays tariffs on all goods under the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. The USMCA makes the three North American nations a free trade zone.
The horrible, terrible deal ratified only by stupid people that President Trump created, the USMCA. Is that the one you're talking about?
That's the one.
Just checking.
Yeah.
Go on.
A South Carolina inmate is being put to death today, but unless it's stopped by Governor Henry McMaster there, the execution of Brad Sigmund would be the first ever by a firing squad in South Carolina in modern history. It also would mark the first time that that's been done in 15 years anywhere in the U.S.
All right. Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Yeah, the tariffs are on. The tariffs are off. The tariffs are off in relation to the USMCA, which was the trade deal that President Trump put into place. Musk is in charge of everything. Musk is not in charge of anything, maybe not even Doge. He can fire people at will. He can't fire people at will because now the department heads are the ones who fire people. We're not using a chainsaw. We're using a scalpel. You know, somebody asked me the other day, Andrew, I don't share your optimism on Doge. My optimism is not on any particular thing that President Trump is doing. My optimism is that since probably a lot of it is just going to happen, that maybe in a year or two, it's going to shake out for good. That's honestly where I'm at, because the individual things, some of them look great, some of them look ridiculous. Sometimes it's the same thing day after day. You know, who knows? It's the policy hokey pokey. I don't know. But I think my optimism is that we elected a disruptor who's going to do disruptive things, and I think you'd have to agree disruption is happening.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Talks about a potential ceasefire between Ukraine and Russia are expected to take place next week in Saudi Arabia.
Steve Witkoff told us yesterday that President Zelensky's letter amounted to an apology. It showed his gratitude, and it convinced the president that he really is committed to finding a path to peace. So on Tuesday, Marco Rubio, Mike Waltz, and Witkoff will head to Saudi Arabia.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich at the White House. Today could be the day President Trump signs the long-awaited executive order to eliminate the Department of Education.
He's made it crystal clear since the time he was running for president that this is his intent. His intent is to provide quality education through school choice to all students.
Education Secretary Linda McMahon, her first TV interview since being sworn in earlier on Fox and Friends. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 48 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Escambia County emergency response officials say they learned some lessons in December of 2019, and that showed yesterday when possible gunshots were reported at Corey Station in Warrington. That all happened about 10 o'clock yesterday morning when two service members said they heard gunshots at a building. It only took minutes, and EMS had set up a staging area. Law enforcement officers from the Escambia Sheriff's Office, PPD, and Naval Police were all on hand.
I'm proud of our units, our EMS, our fire response, our dispatch, who took the 911 calls. Everybody did a good job of using their head.
That's Public Safety Director Eric Gilmore, and he says you can never be 100% prepared for any type of situation, but he said the response to this incident was a big improvement over the response to the NAS Pensacola terror attack 6 years ago. Yesterday's incident turned out to be a false alarm. Sheriff Chip Simmons said his SWAT team cleared the building twice and found no evidence that anything had happened. There was no shooter, no victims. Investigators say they have looked into this report, and they do not believe that it was a swatting call. A 27-year-old Century woman is in critical condition after being hit while riding a hoverboard. She was found lying in the westbound lane of County Road 4 at Burnville Road, just to the west of Century. A one-wheeled hoverboard was found nearby. The woman was taken to the hospital with critical injuries. If you have any information on that crash or the vehicle that left the scene, you are asked to contact FHP at *347. A Crestview church volunteer has been arrested for allegedly abusing a five-year-old in a church classroom. Investigators say 36-year-old Robert Watson was a volunteer teacher at Cross Point Church in Crestview. The child reportedly told their parents Watson had touched them inappropriately and struck them in the classroom. Investigators say staff members at the church cooperated with the investigation, gave them the information they needed to move the case forward. Watson was arrested after returning from a work trip from the U.K., He's charged with lewd and lascivious battery on a victim under 12 and child abuse. He was booked into the Okaloosa jail and released on $10,000 bond. There were no arrests, no tickets, not even a single car had to be towed this year for the downtown Mardi Gras parade. PPD's Mike Wood tells News Radio everything went just about as smooth as it could, even with the new policy of closing Main Street.
The people that did need to get through, that needed to get to homes and businesses south of Main Street, were able to do that, and we were able to get them out of there when they were getting off work. So it couldn't have gone any better, to be honest with you.
And Mike Wood tells News Radio that the safety enhancements will likely be around for future downtown parades and events as well. As for traffic, he said it flowed smoothly. There were no issues reported as folks went to and from that parade. Well, a community meeting is being held next week. They want to get input on a proposed move for the Pensacola Greyhound Track Poker Room. The facility is operated by Wind Creek. They want to relocate to a new building off Pine Forest near the 10 Freeway. The meeting will be held at the Bellevue Library at 5:30 on March 12th. Wind Creek representatives will be on hand to answer questions. They currently operate their card room at the old Greyhound Track on Dog Track Road. It's 7:35. News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still dealing with that accident that happened on Blue Angel Parkway and Dog Track Road. It is off to the side of the road, but we're seeing some delays on Blue Angel, so just be aware of that. Also, we're starting to see delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. And it's about a 5 to 7 minute delay with that. Also, if you're heading southbound on Highway 29, just south of West 9 Mile Road, you're going to see about a 10 to 15 minute congestion delay there. Other than that, we're rolling good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with clouds building in, high near 68 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. On Saturday, we will have waves of rain with 80% chance of showers, high near 75 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 55 degrees. On Sunday, 40% chance of rain, high near 69. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 49 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it is 48 degrees. We've got sunshine in Pensacola this morning. Your next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Markets will get another snapshot into the health of the labor market when the Labor Department Bureau of Labor Statistics releases its February's non-farm payrolls. Economists expect growth of 170,000 jobs. That's up from the 143,000 in January, with the unemployment rate holding steady at 4%. Data drops in 10 minutes. Factors that have pulled mortgage rates to their lowest level since December are clouding the outlook for where mortgage rates will go from here. The average rate of a 30-year mortgage has declined 7 weeks in a row from 7.04% to 6.63%. That's according to mortgage buyer Freddie Mac. McDonald's is overhauling all 43,000 restaurants with an AI makeover to cut waiting times and make a better experience for both customers and employees. Upgrades will start with internet-connected kitchen equipment, AI-enabled drive-thrus, and AI-powered tools for managers to help make sure that orders are accurate. Futures are slightly higher ahead of key inflation data. That's Your Money Now.
Is your child getting the personalized attention they need to excel in math? Mathnasium has a solution for students of all skill levels. They assess each child's strengths and weaknesses, creating a customized learning plan. The Mathnasium method gives them the critical thinking skills they need to thrive, with the option to attend face-to-face online sessions or come to one of their 1,000 neighborhood learning centers. Mathnasium, Pensacola, Destin, and Niceville. Mathnasium, changing lives through math. Learn more at mathnasium.com.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Did you know that with Pensacola Habitat for Humanity, home buyers can choose their location, floor plans, and even certain home features? It's true. With an affordable mortgage, you can build the home of your dreams, tailored to your needs and preferences, all depending on availability and qualifications. Don't wait. Start your journey to home ownership with Pensacola Habitat for Humanity today. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org to learn more and apply today.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Reach out, touch faith.
Oh, interesting music. Interesting music you would pick that for this topic. That's cool. We don't normally, you know, I didn't tell you what we were doing and you don't know, but you got lucky because the topic is a bill that's been filed in Alabama relating to the Ten Commandments in schools. Very interesting, because remember a couple of years ago they kind of said, you know, you can, and then now they're saying you must. This new bill is you must. Okay, and so the bill would require the Ten Commandments to be displayed in all Alabama public schools, colleges, and universities in a place of prominence and with a historical note about the significance of the Ten Commandments in, you know, history, education, law, all of that. Very, very interesting bill. And the reason why it's interesting is some of the arguments against it are also, as you would expect, kind of interesting. So I'm going to start off by just reading what the thing actually is, because I think, you know, so much of the time we don't bother reading the bill. And if we're going to have a Ten Commandments display, okay, poster, let's say, or perhaps a monument, this goes all the way back to, remember Judge Roy Moore in Alabama for years and years having the Ten Commandments in his court, being told he couldn't, getting removed, getting reelected, you know, all that stuff. Okay, this is all follow-on to that. So SB 166, the text displayed pursuant to subsection A shall read as follows. By the way, John, you work in the religious field, okay?
Right.
What percentage of Americans do you think could name the Ten Commandments? Even a paraphrase, let alone a quote.
All of them?
All 10.
About 1%.
Yeah, I think you're optimistic. I'm going to say 10%. I think 10%.
I think you're even more optimistic.
I think I'm super optimistic.
Yeah.
What percent could get somewhat close to quoting them and not just listing them by summary? Now you're way under 1%, right?
Right.
Way under. Okay.
I was trying to come up with a point something.
All right, I'm not going to embarrass you, but do you know all 10 by heart?
No.
Okay.
I'm just going to be completely honest.
And you're a pretty devout Christian,
yes.
Right? I mean, it's pretty normal, which is, to me, a point of irony of sorts. It's kind of like, everybody should read the Bible. Kids should be reading the Bible. We should have the Bible in schools. How many times have you read it? Well, you know, it's on my list of things that I'm supposed to do here eventually.
Well, I mean, I had just made it through a 60-day reading thing that our church does.
Mm, okay,
where
good.
We read the Bible in 60 days.
Oh, God, that's fast. That's a lot. 60 days is a lot.
I know.
Wow. But okay.
Get a lot of information.
Yeah, well, there's a sense in which I think sometimes you can go so fast that you're going too fast to see it, like driving 50 down trying to look at the garden, you know? Doesn't really work. But, yeah, you know, this is one of those things that I thought was kind of important, so I know. But there's a lot of people who... Oh, yeah, we should definitely teach the Ten Commandments. What are they? Oh, darn. Well, you know, don't murder. Don't kill. Wait, which one is it? Don't covet your neighbor's sexy maid or something. I'm not sure. You know, or the sexy manservant. I'm not quite sure. Okay, so here's what the bill actually mandates in Alabama schools. If it passes, it's only a proposal right now. It shall read as follows. The Ten Commandments. I am the Lord thy God. Okay. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make to thyself any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. By the way, John, are you happy about this King James-ish language? I'm not.
I am impressed.
No, I'm a NASB guy. Anyway. NIV okay. In a pinch. RSV if you need to. Anyway, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his cattle, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Okay, and that's a paraphrase. Like, that's a very reduced version of the Ten Commandments. You know, I'm the Lord thy God who brought you forth from the land of oppression. Anyway, so then it goes on with a very lengthy explanation. The Ten Commandments shall be displayed with the following context statement. The history of the Ten Commandments in American public education. The Ten Commandments were a prominent part of American public education for almost three centuries. Around the year 1688, the New England Primer became the first published American textbook and was the equivalent of a first-grade reader. The New England Primer was used in public schools throughout the United States for more than 150 years to teach Americans to read and contained more than 40 questions about the Ten Commandments. True. The Ten Commandments were also included in public school textbooks published by educator William McGuffey, a noted university president and professor. A version of his famous McGuffey Reader was written in the early 1800s and became one of the most popular textbooks in the history of American education, selling more than 100 million copies. Copies of the McGuffey Reader are still available today. True. Finally, the Ten Commandments also appeared in textbooks published by Noah Webster, which were widely used in American public schools, along with America's first comprehensive dictionary that Webster also published. His textbook, The American Spelling Book, contained the Ten Commandments and sold more than 100 million copies for use by public school children all across the nation, was still available for use in American public schools in the year 1975. That's a lengthy historical context. Okay? So, what are the arguments for and against? Well, as you might expect, there's been some great controversy over this in Alabama in the legislature. We'll come back to that conversation in a second. Feel free to weigh in whether you think this is a good bill or not. 437-1620, 437-1620. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Anderson Subaru. No new accidents to let you know about right now. Starting to see a little more of a slowdown on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, just congestion associated with that. And also Highway 29 going southbound just south of 9 Mile Road. That's going to cause you about a 5 to 7 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're considering that next vehicle, I recommend you start shopping way ahead of time. Like if you know you're going to need a car in 6 months to a year, start now. 3 months, start now. And I know, you know, if you get into a wreck, you can't really control that. But a lot of times we kind of neglect the choice to shop for cars, and then we put ourselves in a pinch of needing to figure out which one to buy and find the one you want at the right price and make a decision all under the stress of I don't have transportation right now. Don't do that. Work early. Work ahead. Do what I recommend. Do what Dave Ramsey recommends and think ahead. Go to Frontier Motors. Sample a bunch of different cars. I got kind of what I think of as a buffet of used cars. You know, cars that are a year to 4 years old with low miles and great condition that you can drive for an awfully long time at good prices and that they'll stand behind and that they warranty. I mean, like, really a good deal. But shop now and compare a bunch. Compare 5 or 6. Drive 3 or 4 at least. Really get a sense of what's out there, what you like and don't like, and pay attention. And then, if they got what you want, I mean, you know, you can buy it, or you can say, okay, here's what I'm looking for. I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit of cost to get higher miles, or, you know, an older car, or I want this different trim level, or I want this color, or whatever, and they can go shopping for you. They do that for a lot of people because they go buy cars all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. 747 on News Radio 92.3. I told you we'd talk about this Alabama proposal to require all public schools, even to the university level, to post the Ten Commandments in a prominent place, along with a historical note about their significance in American education. Questions. You know, the argument, okay, the argument by the people who are against this is things like, Rabbi Steven Silberman, where, you know, the Ten Commandments are in the Old Testament, both versions in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 5 and Exodus 20. He said, placement of displays in our schools is an intrusion of the minds and the hearts of our students. That's big government in every sense of the word. There's a point in which he's right. Government mandating content is a form of larger government. I mean, a government that doesn't have that requirement is a smaller government. But remember, conservatives and liberals disagree not just about size of government, but about shape of government. You know, conservatives want lower intrusion in the economic realm and generally higher intrusion in the sort of personal conduct realm, whereas liberals tend to want higher intrusion in the economic realm and lower intrusion in the what you might call personal behavior, or, you know, personal liberty kind of realm. That's a thing called the Nolan chart. If you ever want to look at it, it's a really good two-dimensional way of thinking about political parties and political preferences in the United States. N-O-L-E-N, I think. N-O-L-E-N. Anyway, the Nolan chart, if you look it up, it's a good rubric for thinking about these things. So he's one. He says, faith and religious matters belong to each and every one of us and are best served by private reflection on personal worship of a chosen faith and expression of conscience. Other people object because they think the First Amendment prohibits this. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. That got incorporated against the states by the 14th Amendment. But there's been long litigation. And in fact, there is a Supreme Court case that allows this. And so, you know, in fact, the version of the Ten Commandments that they want to post or that they're proposing to post is the one that that Supreme Court case actually affirmed would be an acceptable publication of the Ten Commandments. This I thought was actually kind of interesting because you had, you know, conversations by, I found this one fascinating because Reverend Lynn Hopkins is a Unitarian Universalist pastor from Montgomery, which, interestingly, under several of the original colonies, she holds a faith that would have been labeled as blasphemy. People don't know the history, right? They don't know that the colonies had, several of them, had faiths of the colony. They had even sometimes test oaths for office. You say, what? I thought the Constitution prohibited that. For Congress, it didn't prohibit it for the states and legislature. I mean, you know, we have this notion like people came to this country in order to be free from any kind of government-sanctioned religion. No, they didn't. I mean, some of them did, but some of them came here to create a different kind of government religion. They just didn't like the one that they were living under before, these sort of misunderstandings of history that get perpetuated. Now, that's not the current law. The current law is you just really aren't supposed to have religion. And so the argument is this is history. This is traditional education. This is important for people to understand. Anyway, she says, let's see, it is necessary that an act of worship be entirely voluntary. Otherwise, it is just state-sponsored idolatry. If you truly wish to destroy the system of conscientious religious tradition in Alabama, this is how to do it. Well, I mean, you know, that is one version. But again, I would say if you read, say, the Bible has a pretty robust involvement of the state in religious matters, right? The theocracy of the Old Testament was something that God assigned to the Israelites. Now, does that mean that we should be following that same pattern? Well, we don't, obviously. But to say that somehow God is opposed to the idea of religion being something that the state is involved in, I mean, that strikes me as particularly silly. It was also kind of funny because she had a comment that I was looking to see if I still had the sound clip. I saw this a couple of days ago. Here. I actually want to play this because I thought it was fascinating. The perspective of the Unitarian Universalist. This is actually the same one, Julie Conradi? Anyway.
Thousands of Alabamians who do not see the Ten Commandments as a sacred text or something that is even worth teaching their children because they are not of those faith traditions that it comes from. You know, if my children were to see the Ten Commandments on a poster, it would be the first time they're seeing the Ten Commandments.
So you have a pastor, a reverend, so-called Julie Conradi, and again, a Unitarian Universalist, who says that my kids would be seeing the Ten Commandments for the first time. That's an amazing thing to concede. Now, there are other notes in this discussion. And, you know, Alabama's going to be having this discussion for a long time, I think. We're not, you know, anywhere close yet to actually ratifying this, or they're not anywhere close yet to ratifying it. But there is an argument to be made that you shouldn't put a summary of the Bible on display in the school because it's not a quote. It's not an actual version of the Ten Commandments because, I mean, for one thing, the Ten Commandments were written in Hebrew. Therefore, it's a translation. And as soon as you start translating, John, what problem do you have?
You lose things in translation.
And which one? How many translations of the Bible are there?
Hundreds. Yes.
And major translations that are super popular, at least a dozen. You know, that's why you can buy parallel Bibles that have your four translations or whatever next to each other. So, which version, Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5? They're not the same. They're similar, but they aren't the same. Also, you can make an argument that this is not the Ten Commandments. This is an executive summary of the Ten Commandments. Is that good enough? Well, what did God give? Did he give the executive summary or did he give the actual? You know what I mean? Like, it took a long time to carve them in the rock, right? Because they're long.
They are.
So it's just kind of, you can be against them not because you hate the Bible, but because you think they're an inadequate version of the Bible because, you know, it's not enough of the Ten Commandments. Or you could also think it violates the Constitution or because you are against the Ten Commandments. There's lots of reasons to oppose and a few, you know, good reasons to favor. So it's going to be an interesting conversation. And this is a topic that, like so many other topics, we tend to have only very superficial conversations about when it comes up periodically. And I wanted to kind of at least walk you through pretty quickly, I'm sorry I talk so fast, some of the issues surrounding what is a very interesting subject. Should kids on their way to school, K through 12 or university, walk past a display of the Ten Commandments? Is that helpful or not? There's a lot of people who say that is a minor way that we can have a coherent culture that reinforces the value of religion. Religion is the underpinning of ethics. Ethics is the underpinning of politics. Therefore, this is important. When we don't have it, following Supreme Court cases out of the 60s, we lose prayer, we lose the Bible, we lose our culture, we lose our morality, we lose our way, we become what we are today. And so they think this is a way of remedying that. I don't think they're totally wrong, but I do think there is a weird bit of hypocrisy that a lot of Christians who advocate for reading the Bible and knowing the Ten Commandments haven't and don't. So I can scold everybody. 7:54 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you've got a plumbing issue of any kind, a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall when you flush the toilet or turn on the faucet, you want to get that fixed. These things don't fix themselves. And if it feels like it has fixed itself, it has probably gotten worse and it's just ready to be a bigger problem. Barberry Plumbing. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes. And they can even fix the fix that you fixed that wasn't a fix. That's what I did to me. They were great. 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still dealing with an accident on Blue Angel and Dog Track Road. Evidently, a car is off in the woods. So we're not, it's not showing any roadblock, but we're starting to see delays. Thanks for the tip on that one. Other than that, there's no other accidents to let you know about. I-10 actually is flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays through the construction zones right now. I-110 is looking good also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. It's Sun Belt Basketball Championship Week in Pensacola at the Bay Center. Enjoy the Fan Fest, cheer teams, and top college games. See visitpensacola.com for the schedule and info. The Pensacola Little Theater's presentation of The Play That Goes Wrong begins Friday night and goes through next week. See pensacolalittletheater.com for dates, times, and tickets. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Now stand aside, worthy adversary.
Tis but a scratch.
A scratch? Your arm's off.
No, it isn't.
Well, what's that then?
I've heard worse.
You liar!
Come on, you pansy!
When was the last time you heard somebody use pansy as an insult?
I think it was 1983.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit dated as a as a rib. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want good advice, you want to ask good questions, get good answers, and, you know, learn even better questions you might ask, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. You know, one of the things, she was talking about this recently on Pep Talk, how she loves talking to people before they've made a decision and just ask questions and get a sense of the terrain. Like somebody might, you might be thinking, hey, I kind of want to own a beach home maybe someday, you know, maybe as my full time, maybe as a part time, maybe as a rental combo hybrid with me living it sometimes, whatever. Can I? Well, you know, it depends on the condition of the home. It depends on the location of the home and it depends on the price. And those are the factors. You get two, you don't get all three. And she says, so some people have unrealistic thoughts about what they can do. And some people might be able to afford it and they don't realize it because they don't really know what's possible if you're willing to compromise a little bit on condition or location. So she says, give her a call. Talk to her. She loves meeting people. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. Somebody says, 10 commandments in school. Why not 10 commandments in the jails? Amendment. Add it. I agree. David Wayne, do you have a quick headline for us?
I do. The finalists are chosen for this year's 2025 World Video Game Hall of Fame. It includes classics like Frogger, GoldenEye 007, and Tamagotchi, as well as Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Local talk.